Pickaxe.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey all, I'm Dr. Alok Kanoja, but the internet knows me as Dr. K. I spent 7 years studying to become a monk and then became a psychiatrist. I want to tell you a little bit about my podcast, Healthy Gamer GG, where we combine my clinical experience of practicing psychiatry and sprinkle in years of experience as a meditation teacher and sort of focus on spirituality. So on the podcast, we're going to approach very common everyday problems from each of these lenses. And what we really do well is blend science and spirituality to create the most accessible solutions for people for their everyday problems. So check us out at Healthy Gamer GG on YouTube, Spotify, or Apple.
Another rocky intro to celebrate our change up to Hat Chat. Welcome back to episode, what is it, Ross Hornby of the Hat Chat podcast?
It's episode 57. Thanks for saying my name so clearly, but who's that other guy?
Hello, my name's Alex Smith, and I'll also be here. What's 57 in German, Ross?
Fünfundzwanzig?
25.
Why are you laughing? That's
near
German.
Near enough.
Wait, no. Oh, I don't know then. That's my German. That is 20. Yeah, 25.
It's an international podcast here today. We're coming to you from across the water on the island of sunny England, which today isn't sunny, nor has it been really sunny for most of June and July. But yeah.
Still humid, though.
That
still
fingal humid and was brought to annoying. You by Tim Wilson, who I have no idea if he's residing on this island or not. For his sake, I hope not. But, you know, Tim, thanks for that. That was another rocker. And here
Wilson's
we are. Once
a tennis
back.
Brand, right?
It's a tennis brand. I think they also make volleyballs as well, because obviously the famous Wilson in... That was a big tennis ball, if that was that.
Ooh.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I'm just trying to... A little bit of cheeky link to Wimbledon's. That's happening right now. And obviously...
Oh, it is happening, yeah.
Other sports events
Very
such
nice.
As, I don't know, the Euros, maybe.
Yeah.
We got into the final... through whatever means possible, clearly. Laser point.
We can chat about all of that in our specific categories.
Of course we can.
For that.
Okay.
So that's just a little tease. But anyway, welcome back. We're doing these weekly now, if you didn't know, if you didn't listen to last episode. We're also doing a few new things. So we're uploading the ad-free versions to Patreon. Hey, thanks, Patreon. If you do support us there, you'll be credited at the end of the video. That's also on the YouTube channel. And that fingal, if you want to send one in, if you're musically minded, send it to our email, hatchat@films.com. I'm doing these up front, which is nuts.
Getting them in there.
But anyway, on to our first news section that we did last week, hypotheticals. On Patreon, we did a poll of like, which of these three would you like to see in the next Hat Chat? They voted overwhelmingly for one, and then there's a second place one as well, if we get time. So we'll get to those, I guess, right now. Should we just not mess around?
I don't want to mess around, Trot.
I just don't want to mess around, especially not with you, Trot. Not again.
No, not again. We can't keep doing it. It's been 10 years.
It's very dirty. Right, so what did they vote for?
So the first thing they voted for was the question, what weird thing would you make socially acceptable if you could? Which is quite an open-ended and
it really is.
Sort of tame, depending on the answer you give, isn't it? Really, it's a question. What weird thing would you make socially acceptable if you could?
What's unacceptable? There's quite a lot that's unacceptable. You couldn't drop trow and poop on the floor like a dog. And I don't think I don't want that to be a thing. I'm not saying that as I'm pining for that. Are you thinking you want that? Is that something you want?
Well, I mean, actually, Ross, I don't think specifically there are laws against like taking a poop,
public
like,
defecation,
like, obviously if you do it in a way that exposes yourself to others or in a way that you know, causes some form of harm or affliction to others, I can imagine it being a problem. But if you're caught out on a country walk, I mean, obviously it becomes more difficult in a city. This is the problem.
Right.
Of course, in a city, it almost be impossible to not be seen. Like, yeah. I mean, you could. I mean, you definitely could sneak off for a shit. But I think we'd all, you know, now and then we've all snuck off for a piss in our youth, haven't yeah, we, in a city. Sure. Trying to
snuck off
for a little pee when there wasn't any
alleyway.
Sometimes public restrooms available.
Just you've pissed on your own front door.
No, I'm saying you've had that near you.
Someone pissed on your front door. On my front door.
Someone pissed near my front door as well. Not too long ago.
Really?
I told them off. Yeah.
Yeah. This is the problem of living in the city centre. Really? Yeah. Like we're in amongst it. I don't think they expect people to live in half the buildings in the centre. Like, I think the guy was genuinely surprised when I was like, "I live here. Can you not piss on the door? It's going under the door." Show.
We thought it was a banker summit.
Yeah, and it's also it's like some of the places in my building are like the 1%ers, but they're like right at the top of the building. Like a vast majority of people in my building are, you know, not exactly like Richie Rich. You know, it's not a protest piss or anything like that, you know. They're well off probably, but it's all a scale. Anyway, weird things that you'd make socially acceptable if you could.
Doorstep pissing, I think.
You would make that socially acceptable.
Oh, says him. No, no one's pissed on his doorstep, that's why.
Everyone wants to piss on front doors, Trot, until it's your doorstep that the piss is coming on to. Like, exactly. You know, it's
no
your rug that it's soaking into.
Near me.
Well, yeah. Because ultimately, you need to be happy with it happening. Regardless of what it is, you need to be like, yeah, I want that to happen. Is there something that doesn't happen already that you want to happen in this, a social this is a good environment? Question. And it's hard to think of what that could be because...
It's so much easier to think of things we won't want to happen than it is for things we do want to happen, right?
True.
Stem cell research, I'd love to make that socially acceptable. You know, I mean, this question could be quite plain depending on how you, like, they want us to create something fantastical here, don't they? They don't want us to go, hey, legalize safe access to abortion in all countries, you know, because that's still not socially acceptable in like loads of countries. But that's too normal. That's too what they're expecting. So we got to do something really weird. All right. For you to offer a person to make them a milkshake every time you meet them the first time. So instead of like shaking their hand or saying nice to meet you, say nice to meet you. Would you like me to make you a milkshake? And everybody has to at least carry the rudimentary like bits to make a milkshake. So you got a cool bag on you all times. Yeah, a mini blender, everything. Man. Sorry, I've just met you. Sorry, would you like me to make you a milkshake? Sorry, I mean
chocolate or banana. That's all I've got.
I've met a few people today, so I'm down on chocolate, but I've got strawberry.
There's loads of strawberry in the bag still. You've both offered to make each other milkshakes, by the way, because you know you're both courteous people.
Yeah.
So the other person's already. Like, "Well, what do you want?" And I'm like, "Oh, I've had loads of milkshakes today. Honestly, I don't think I want another milkshake." And so it just becomes the norm.
If it was the norm, everyone would have them in their hands, almost like you see coffee now. Everyone's got coffee in their hands. It's just a milkshake. Mm-hmm. They've always got a milkshake. You're like, "Well, you clearly look sorted. So I'll move on. Excuse me, ma'am. Would you like a milkshake?" That seems like a very, very odd thing. And if anything, it would already be socially acceptable. I'm sure if you went out right now, I think people would embrace that. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
Yeah.
We need to think of weird stuff like...
Certainly better than like offering a full chaps. French kiss for a first meet would be a bit much, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, are there some countries that embrace that? Is there a cultural thing we're missing? Because I know there's obviously the double kiss.
In France, they do the side
I don't
kissing,
like that.
Which is like
I
in
don't
the
like
air.
Fucking nations that kiss each other. No way.
You just don't like close proximity to people.
I don't like close physical
people.
Contact with people, full
it's
stop.
Not good now, right now, yeah.
How about this?
Yeah.
I've got a curveball that isn't meeting people.
Okay.
You get a one time, as a retail worker, the ability to backhand an unruly customer that's treating you like shit.
So you get to be a vigilante.
Yeah. Well,
you get to backhand them without any repercussions.
Yeah. I think with that knowing, it's like when it was a program where somebody was, I think it was How I Met Your Mother, where he was expecting to get slapped at some point, any point. And like if you were a horrible customer and you knew that this person could legally slap me in the face if I push it too far, you probably get a lot less hostile.
You do realize that this is a perfect analogy for gun ownership, don't you?
It is,
yeah. Could you hear yourself saying it as you said it? Yeah, because, you know, if a person knows that a person has a gun, they're less likely to do crazy shit. You know what happens, Ross?
A little slap in the face?
Last week, there was an incident at a Texas gas station where two men got into an argument. One went and got a gun to settle the argument, right? As the person returned with the gun, eight other bystanders at the gas station returned fire, right? And about 10 innocent passers-by got hit by bullets. What would happen in that in situations like that would be everybody would be slapping everybody until everyone agreed that it's a faux pas to slap and everyone would stop again, like the milkshake thing.
Everyone gets one. This is the thing. Like, if we set the rules, there's no upgrade from the hand. That's it. You get one slap on an unruly customer that's treating you like shit.
Yeah, a slap is different from like, running and getting a handgun, especially when I think they recently relaxed their laws to basically just have anyone can have a gun over there, like regardless of checks, isn't it? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
Why?
Where? In Texas.
I mean, there are ways to get them. So you can buy a gun and a drop of a hat?
I think so, yes.
I mean, what if there is a gas station fight going on next door and you want to get involved? You know? Like,
yeah.
Well, but I mean, like said, if that's true, they're just doing deregulation and they're literally creating a new Wild West. I mean, is that what they want? They just want a new Wild West?
Maybe.
Texas is so in love with itself, isn't it? Or the people, not all of Texas. I think there's quite a lot of people in Texas that think it's bonkers as well. But there has been this Texas-ism sort of evolving, probably brewing. Because of people like their senator. What's his face? The guy that looks like melted cheese thrown against a wall. He skinned a beaver and decided to wear it as a hat. Ted Cruz,
yeah.
That guy is just, you know, the manifestation of all the things that are essentially wrong with America, really.
That was it. They passed a law removing background checks from having a license to hold it in public. So you can have a concealed carry without a license, which is, you can imagine, quite a worrying thing to just go, that guy could have a gun. You could have a gun. But this was slaps, okay? So you were talking about slaps. I don't know if violence is the answer. Maybe more of a kind of like a fuck you and walk off. Like, if you're allowed fired, sure.
Yeah. You can meet them with the same tone.
Yeah. And some people do. That? Some people do. And it's, you just...
But without the risk of losing your job. Yeah. So because the customer's always right and, like, the businesses always make the retail worker just smile it off. And it's like... They're a customer, so they're basically God. Mm. We should worship the floor they walk on and do no wrong. But I think there should be repercussions for people like that.
At least while retailers still
does happen, they get thrown out. But like, I think the retail workers that like do 0 hours or like low paying or like aren't going to be there, or university students, they shouldn't just lose their job over like shouting back at these people.
Or worse, like nurses.
Well,
crap from people who are drunk and stuff and what God knows what else.
I mean, this problem is deep and many layered. I mean, like, when you're just talking about retail, the problem comes when the manager has no clear mission statement and doesn't look out for their employees essentially. Yeah. And then if that manager doesn't have strong corporate rules that they can understand and interpret in order to understand where their limits are in dealing with customers, of course they're just going to bend over backwards the entire time because they can't be bothered to deal with it. This is why I was like,
lighthearted ideas.
Give me something that's silly, not like, you know, random harm being
I think it should be
put upon retail workers or something.
I think it should be not only socially acceptable but completely immune to mockery to wear full LARP gear in public, including a cloak.
Well, I mean, that's just saying you should be able to wear anything in public, right?
Which just anything.
Yeah, you should. I mean, as long as it isn't, you know,
what if I
highly
wear,
offensive
like, yeah,
based
belts,
on current interpretations.
Like, kind of just wear a belt outfit, which kind of highlights my nipples.
All
and
belts.
Just all belts.
So it's like, kind of like belts that kind of like go around and like create a bra kind of shape. But my boobs are enhanced. They're out of that. And then it kind of like also goes like, further down to straps. And then kind of, if anything, it's like a belt cock. It's a leather thing, but it looks like a giant leather dick. If I was wearing that, do you think that should be... Should I walk around Tesco in that?
I'd more worry for you, and at any moment, between those belts, you're going to pinch your skin a lot.
Yeah. That's on me.
They belts with zippers on them as well.
Belts, zippers, and some chains.
Wow, chains.
Just some chains. Well, like
I'm basically just saying, going
out
BDSM gear, and is that what you want to see in your
local
Tesco's?
I've seen somebody taking a gimp around with them before. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really?
Yeah, in the Tesco up near IKEA.
You've been one.
Amazing.
I've been accepting an order.
That's true. You were.
I saw somebody in the Tesco near IKEA once pulling, like, actually had a gimp on a leash, like, walking around.
Wow, that's quite the sight. That's amazing. I mean, and did anyone? I guess no one really kicked up a fuss. I mean, what would you see on a glance? Like, it's like in awe.
I think people were just like, they knew what it was, and they were just like, I don't even want to, like, I'm not even going to ask, because it's just like, clearly that's like a guy on a leash in a full leather suit. And like, so, you know, they probably want, I'm just going to put your groceries through.
What if, like furries, or being a dog role play or something, when you're just crawling around in local, in public places, like a dog with dog ears on and a butt plug
tail.
I think
so long as you're not a public nuisance and you're not breaking any laws.
Yeah.
And you've got some fans on inside that, because that's going to be hot as hell,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah. But that's...
don't want people passing out on the streets.
I mean, there are probably people that step out, like, into public dressed in crazy ways every day. But just the fact is, you only see a few people a day. You probably don't see it. Like, any one time, if you spent the day in Bristol central area, like shopping centres and stuff, you'd probably see a few oddly dressed people. That you wouldn't notice otherwise. I mean, ultimately, what you're asking for is an open-minded and accepting. Well, but then what is socially acceptable? Because you're basing all of this off of essentially your interpretation of the status quo. That is essentially it. And really all it is your interpretation of the status quo and your willingness to resist against that status quo. Those are the two factors that dictate what you wear that day. Beyond, you know, comfort and it's raining outside, so I'm going to wear this. If you want to make a statement.
And attention.
Yeah, if you want to make a statement or if you want to do something that gives you pleasure, like dressing up as a gimp for the day, you value that against how outraged and what possible issues could this raise against me before you walk out the door. That's it.
Do I need all this attention? That's what it comes down to.
Yeah.
Social anxiety.
I kind of took it as what's
if I
illegal.
Do have this jester's codpiece that's like looks like a fully erect penis, I probably would be socially anxious about people asking questions about it.
And when you talk about legality,
at that stage,
Ross,
if you've gone outside with that on, I feel like you're not even bothered. At that stage, you've stepped out the door, you're fine with it. It's there.
Well, I mean, like, legality, I think, is open to interpretation as well, because I don't think you won't get stopped by the police unless somebody has said, this person is exposing themselves to my children, or this person is doing this.
I can see his dick.
Like, but I mean, like, think about how many times you can see people's underwear through their clothes. Like, it happens all the time. And like, part of me is like, well, we should desexualize the human body, because I will say that I think this, but think about this, right? There's hair that grows under human bodies, the arms of human bodies, right? Regardless of whether you're male or female, there's hair that grows here. And we have completely normalized the removal of that for women. And like I say, I will admit, like, I prefer women to have shaved armpits, you know, because that is how we've been conditioned.
I wonder why that is.
Because we've been conditioned and taught that from birth, that is an object of like how you perceive a woman. It's and even now it's a complete faux pas. Yeah, exactly. Even now it's like unusual, right? Or European or something like that. You know, people are usually like, oh, that's unusual. They don't shave under their arms.
I think that can be unlearned.
I don't know if it can
by an individual.
I think it can be
a long time.
It will take a long time. But like, I think it's one of the things that, like you say, what's universal toplessness? You know, where everyone could go topless if they want.
Yeah.
You know, your mum, your gran.
If guys can do it. Like, as soon as there's the hint of sunshine in England,
yeah, exactly.
Like, oh, it's slightly above freezing temperature. You get all these guys with like wife beaters or toplessness entirely. Mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't call them that. That's not a very nice term.
Vests.
Just got it all out. Yeah, just vests. Boom, straight away. And it's just a horrible sight, really. You see all kinds of beer bellies and whatnot and hair everywhere.
Yeah,
that depends on personal taste, but you get to see it regardless if you like it or not. And I think that should be the case for all genders.
Yeah, I mean, like, but the thing is, like, I wouldn't want it. I prefer women with shaved armpits. Like, this is the thing. Like, just in case I need to communicate that any harder in this podcast. Mm-hmm. But you know,
I need
listening. Hurry up and shave those bad boys, because he.
But
like
I'm kind of like, it's sad and also strange to realize there is such an ingrained conditioning within you that really, even on casual examination, doesn't make a huge amount of sense. So like, you know, what
it's
else
kind of concerning.
Do we not notice about ourselves and our way of thought?
Yeah. The more you think about that sort of thing, the more you realize how molded and shaped you are by conditioning, social conditioning of like what you like and don't like. Then we go to a different country where all those norms are shifted. You're so out of sorts and like almost repulsed by certain things. It's like sanitary or non-sanitary or like fashion, or it's like, oh my God, how can they live like this? But yeah, say for example, Finland, they're a lot more lax on nudity,
right?
Because from an early age, families share like big hot tubs and stuff, and saunas.
Yeah, saunering is very popular there.
Very so popular. It's like, wish that's I had a pretty sauna. Normalized.
And also, it's but so the cold rest of the Western there world everyone wears it's clothes weird. By default, right?
Hmm?
Yeah.
People are wearing clothes by default in that country, so if anything, it's just like, oh, well, there's no need.
Not unusual.
No one's wandering around topless when it hits 2 degrees, you know? Like in the UK.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Normalize keys in a bowl and public orgies. Thoughts.
Public orgies, wow. How would that work in public? Are you just, is there just
a... There's a pedestal, like a Roman-style stone pedestal.
Yeah.
You know, like you see in Hercules, like the pillars that hold up temples. There's one about like waist height.
Okay.
And atop it is a marble bowl.
Yeah.
This is where you place your car keys if you want to take part in this artful public orgy.
I mean, you would have people turn up. I don't know whether it would be the kind of people you're expecting. I was watching...
You're like, oh, this is the turn-up, is it? Right. I've like got to go somewhere.
I always think this. I think that, like, no, people are available for this. And once in a while, you know, it will be this incredibly sexually enlightening experience.
You have to be aware of the full spectrum of the human body.
Exactly. You need to be really open-minded. And also, the problem is, I think that these things are open to abuse as well, if you're not careful, in terms of, like, people not really believing open-mindedness, but going, finally, some people to have sex with. You know? Yeah. But yeah, anyway, that was...
Would you be at the sidelines with a razor?
Acceptable. Would I? I'd be there with a razor going, hold on.
Hang on. Hold you on. Sure you don't want to just quick shave in the under the pits? Just get those
I prefer it if I'm going to be a bystander watching. If you could all just shave before we get going. Thank you.
So our second... We've gone over a bit on this segment, but our second hypothetical. Do we want to do... Or do we need to do an ad break now?
We can
and then we'll do one more hypothetical after this.
I think we're so we're at this point now where we're injecting ads, so if you're listening to this ad free, you're not going to miss a beat. But until then, we'll see you in a moment.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hello, my friend. My name's Sean, and I want to end your suffering. No, not like that. With meditation in my new podcast, Mindfulness for Gamers. Each episode, I'll take you through how mindfulness can help you to feel less anxious and frustrated and put you on a path of happiness, all through the lovely, grimy lens of video games. So make time to level up your mental health and take the first step on your spiritual skill tree. Join me and subscribe to Mindfulness for Gamers right here, right now.
We're back from that moment. Look at us.
So quick.
Look at us.
What a great ad.
We just enjoyed the hypothetical.
I can't wait to see the sky high CPMs we get paid for that ad. Sky high.
It's going to be insane. Insane.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm happy to do another hypothetical, or I'm happy to talk about some funny news, or this week I heard or saw. We got the next section to kind of dabble into any of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, I mean, I really would like this. I'd like to do this hypothetical because I think it sounds funny.
Let's do it. All right.
How
second
would it
hypothetical.
Work? Second hypothetical. As voted on by our Patreon, by the way, thank you to the people that are patronizing this podcast. Not only do they get an ad-free version of this podcast, which we're uploading the last one, by the way, but we're on that now. They also get to vote on little things like this. It's nothing special, but we appreciate the support that people are giving us. Second hypothetical here is, how would the world be different if humans commonly ranged anywhere from 4 foot to 12 foot tall? Or rather, 4 feet and 12 feet tall.
So 4 feet definitely happens already. 12 feet, not so common.
12 foot tall, yeah. Jeez.
But if there was way more variability, you're basically saying.
The housing market would suffer, I think. The housing market would suffer the most because you've got to cater. I mean, are we talking that there's like basically almost like a, it's quite an even balance between 12-foot tall people and 4-foot tall people. Is that what you're saying?
Commonly ranged.
An anomaly.
It was common.
Common, yeah.
So when you're born, you have a chance of being just 4 feet, but sometimes 12 feet.
Mm.
I think that it would have a vastly stratified society, if I'm honest with you.
Yeah, just on a fundamental infrastructure level, everything has to be redone with that variability in mind. Like cars, roads, doors... Yeah. Like stairs, all this, everything.
Everything would have to have adjustability built into it, wouldn't it? If you think about it, like every ergonomic consideration is done roughly, you know, anywhere between probably about 5 and 6 feet tall. Let's be honest, that's about where people probably consider things for design. You've got women who can be quite small, men who can be as well, likewise tall. Yeah.
On average
between 5 and 6 feet, you know, maybe a little bit over six. I guess you'd have to have everything with like adjustability straps. I'm imagining a sort of you know, those roller skates. Yeah. You ever seen those adjustable roller skates that sort of move open,
click into place?
Yeah, that's what I'm imagining, but for cars. Vehicles, they've all belts and loops and clicks.
Well, I'm guessing, yeah, pedals that might, you know, retract and come further up so you can reach them correctly. Mm. I mean, if it was more commonplace, then sure, yeah, I imagine that would be. Is it either or is that the spectrum? Because obviously, you know, that, you know, we have a size spectrum now, not up to 12 foot, of course.
Yeah, would you get every other size in between as well? Or would it just be 4 foot or 12
no,
foot?
No, it would be adjustable. So yeah, yeah, exactly, because you'd have people of 8 foot, 8.5 foot, 9 foot. I mean, still though, also,
giants,
like,
really.
12-foot people would be able to walk to work so much quicker than 4-foot people. So I imagine 4-foot people would probably have more buses, but because they're smaller, the buses can be in a more concentrated area. So the impact of a 4-foot tall person's use of public transport versus the speed at which a 12-foot person could walk to work, it'd be incredible. I mean, it'd be a very interesting experiment to see how socially sort of diverse and accepting you could be.
Do you think doors would have to be like really big and then have like another door inside them that's smaller?
That's you what know, I
like
was
a,
thinking.
Like a it's like cat flat like cat style flat. Scenario. But like, to accommodate both. Because ultimately a 12-foot door would be massive. Like big doors.
You could also do cars like that where you get like a big shell car and then you can have small cars that can be inserted into them as like a
mothership.
I'll just pick these
situation.
Small people up on the way.
Like a droid. Like a fucking Megazoid. Like a Megazoid. Yeah. Like you transform. So you got the 12-foot guy and then like the cars go onto his arms.
I can fit 4 more 4-footers. Got 2 arm slots and 2 leg slots.
I'm a 12-footer. Ready. I carry 3 of my 4-foot family to work every day. I mean, brilliant. I think it'd be amazing. I mean, you definitely have a car system and probably not a small amount of wars where the big people try and wipe out the small people. But I think it'd be interesting to see.
Segregation and divide. I was thinking more dystopic with it, where there would be like societies that are just tailored to 4-foot people and others are 12-footers.
You know,
and then there'd be like that, the no man's land in between. And then there'd be the great 12-foot war of 1990, fighting all the 4-foot people.
Giants. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the news stories spun by the sun of like 12-footers are wasting our energy and all that kind of stuff.
Bloody 12-footers.
It'd be a nightmare.
No. Yeah. Trot, if it was the sun, it would be the 4-footers are the ones causing the problem.
Of course.
12-footers are doing great. Yeah. They're really helping. It's all these little 4-footers with their big ideas. That's the problem.
But so, like, 4-footers are always late to work because they're smaller. And
God damn, hire a 12-footer.
It's traffic just, jams.
We'd have all these things like, well, of course they're only hiring 12-footers. Why would you want a 4-footer? Like, you know, the same thing about women, like hiring women and like, well, they're just going to go on maternity leave. You know, same sort of problems.
Do you think there would be a split between like the physical properties of a 12-footer and then the smart 4-footers that can't do like shelf stacking at X Toys R Us where there's like a billion shelves? Do you think that people that were smaller would be forced into the more like academics side of things? Whether they're smart or not doesn't matter. You can't do the physical stuff that the 12-footers can do.
Maybe.
And vice versa, the 12-footers are like, we don't have space for any more 12-footers to be scientists. You need to shelf stack and do labor or do a sport.
Oh.
What?
4-foot.
In the American college system, if you're only over seven, if you're over 7 foot and get onto a good basketball system in America, you've got a pretty good chance. There's like there's some sort of like, if you're above a certain height, I think it's, if you're above about 7 foot three, you've got like a very good chance of becoming a professional basketball player in America.
What if you had three of the 4 foot is stacked, make 1 12 footer, right? So you could.
That's true. Actually, that's really helpful.
There could be a community. Yeah. There could be a community of people who are trained to be like, well, I'm legs guy. Yep. And then you could have like a community of people who work together and then maybe play basketball like that. So they actually, you know, if anything, there's like an extended jump system they could create. So the two people at the bottom could be the knees and
both
really lift
knees.
Them up.
Right.
Yeah.
Good God.
So like, hold on. So it literally acrobats, is the Megazoid, Megazoid lifestyle. Is that what you're preaching?
Megazoid, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Live your life as a Megazoid.
We always seem to go back to that modular style.
Modular's best. Solution. Modular is best.
Yeah.
It's the only way to compete with those bloody 12 footers.
I know.
Yeah.
We have to work together.
Imagine sports, just on a general level. Like, you can have different formations. I imagine it'd be more like Blood Bowl, where you have, like, the huge 12-footer, like, quarterbacks. Then you have the nimble 4-footer, like, runners and throwers. Well, actually, the 12-footers.
So the reason I think you think like this, and the reason why I think this is such an interesting question, is because most fantasy worlds deal with the idea of multiple human sentience level species, right? And they have different heights.
Being vastly
dwarves,
different.
Dwarves, elves, humans, orcs, you know, the classics. Like different physiological traits. And that's just really interesting and fun to talk about. But I mean, imagine if a woman or a mother was guaranteed to have at least 12 feet of baby, but you didn't know in what configuration. So it's like a sausage, but you don't know where the sausage gets cut off each time. So they could have like...
What do you mean?
So it's always a multiple of 12. So it's either one long 12er, maybe 4 fours, you know? Who knows?
Or an 8 foot and a 4 foot.
Yeah, 2 sixes. You never know.
Holy crap.
It'd be crazy, wouldn't it?
But you guarantee 12 of something.
Some outliers that'll be 14 foot.
Yeah, we think so. Some outliers that'll be 2.5, like milk bottles. Milk bottle child. Yeah, that's what they'll call them. I'll keep them in the fridge.
Milk bottle.
Such extremes.
This is, I want society to be like this.
It's a crazy world, honestly. Isn't it? What if the doctor gets to choose? So as the sausage is coming out, they're just putting little cuts in where they think is appropriate.
Jesus Christ.
Sausage
would
babies.
Would a doctor be a 4-footer? Would a 4-footer trust their 12-footer GP?
Would you let a 12-footer,
like a 4-footer does.
Yeah. Well, I mean, also, if you're a 4-footer, you might as well save money and go to the 4-footer hospital that cost a third of the price to build rather than going to that expensive 12-footer hospital
that's
down the
true.
Road.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a
4-footers just live cheaper. You could just... Yeah, it might be nice for us to be up here in the trees with our heads swinging about, our giant lolling arms. But our hearts have to work 3 times as hard to get the blood all the way up here. We die at the age of 30. All right, 4-footers ain't got it so bad. And that's why I think they should keep working in the tiny, compact mines that we send them down.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. They would be sent down.
Oh, my God.
That's the thing.
They'd be the canaries.
Mm-hmm.
And the 12-footers would actually be the miners. Wow. I mean, I feel like we could literally do a whole podcast on this.
On this
like
world.
A weekly one.
This world
is quite the world-building exercise, isn't it?
Yeah. Really is.
Yeah.
Well, we got to stop at some point. Ross, do you have any funny news or you know, stuff that's happened?
There is some funny news. This was actually quite interesting. And I've labeled it here for you, Trant, so you can click on it. It's Poo Powder Brilliant. Power and Crypto. Now,
is this your title?
That was my title, yeah. South Korean toilet turns excrement into power and digital currency. How does that sound?
Good God.
Sounds great.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah. So, using a toilet can pay for your coffee or buy you bananas at a university in South Korea, where human waste is being used to help power a building.
Looks really cheap and simple.
It does. Well, Cho J-Won.
We're looking at a video.
An urban and environmental engineer professor at the Ulsan National Institute of Science and Technology has designed an eco-friendly toilet connected to a laboratory that uses excrement to produce biogas and manure. The BV toilet. Go on.
Yeah. No, I just... We're watching the video.
Yeah.
Oh.
And the person did their flush.
Yeah.
And there's a QR code on the wall where they have an app where they can earn their Gigol.
That's it.
I'm sorry.
Gigol currency.
Did they get that guy in from Gringotts or somewhere?
So it, so basically, it uses a vacuum pump to send feces into an underground tank, reducing water use. There, microorganisms break down the waste to methane, which becomes a source of energy for the building, powering a gas stove, hot water boiler, and solid oxide fuel cell.
Fantastic. And he said, I think this is very creative.
If we think out the box, feces has precious value to make energy and manure. I put this value into ecological circulation, he says. An average person defecates about 500 grams a day, which can be converted to 50 liters of methane gas. The environmental... Oh, that's what he says. This can generate 0.5 kilowatts an hour of electricity or be used to drive a car for about 1.2 kilometers. 0.75 miles. That's not bad, is it?
I think we should be harnessing our shit like this.
I mean, hold on. Well, yeah, one sec. When methane burns in the air, it gives off carbon dioxide. So, like...
Right. Where's the benefit?
They'd have to extract that.
It's great that they're extracting additional energy from their poop. Yeah. Like, I mean, I like this as a concept. Oh, there's a Fibonacci spiral, classic. And I like this as a concept, but
yeah,
I mean, it still gives off CO2. It's great.
What does our sewer system do normally, though? We just bury it, right?
Well, absolutely. It's great that we're harnessing it somehow, but ultimately it's still a greenhouse gas producing problem. And the reason, you know, the dairy industry and the cattle industry contribute so much to global warming is because the cows fart, producing methane, which increases CO2 in the air. But it's great. Yeah, it's great to trap this energy, but it doesn't look cheap and it doesn't look easy.
No.
And also, centralization of waste is probably still a better idea, because through centralization, you can apply mass strategies which aren't effective or affordable on an individual basis.
I personally think we should eject waste and landfill stuff via solar powered magrail at the sun.
Wow.
Well, we shouldn't.
Complex.
Yeah,
something that's.
It's an option.
Or a skyhook. Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Of course.
As long as we get it off the planet, we'll be all good.
I mean, they say that the Chinese apparently managed to maintain fusion the other day for 110 seconds or something like that, which is really insane.
Exciting.
So we just. This is my only positive answer. When everyone asks me about, wow, you're really doom and gloom about everything, right? It's I feel like humanity's doomed. But if we crack infinite power, which we might, science is our only hope, really, for all of the problems we're creating. Consumerism and capitalism isn't fucking the answer, that's for sure. But
what about hopes and prayers?
Hopes and prayers absolutely not either.
No, hopes and prayers are really useful, Trot.
But if we crack infinite energy, we will be able to start looking at things like firing our waste off of the planet. Because, we could generate enough energy to fling something into the air without having to burn or create that energy on the source of our planet. But I mean, God help us.
We're also starting to lose. Before, our entire planet has always had the same molecules on it that it's always had and has never left the ecosystem. We're starting to eject that off the planet in the form of satellites, space debris, stuff like that. So it's we're actually losing resources by this new tech. Not that it's going to be anything substantial.
Well, hold on. What about when there was a hole in the ozone? Well, there still is a hole in the ozone layer ejecting gases into space.
Oh, that's a hoax by NASA.
I mean, those are molecules.
That was a big deal back in the day, wasn't it? That was a big deal back in the day. I remember it's always talked about, but it seems that's gone. Is that priority
by the
gone down, or does it heal itself in some way? Is it smaller or is it bigger?
I think that ozone has healed itself way.
It was about, you know who would be great to talk about this? Dr. Simon Clark, because he's literally an atmospheric scientist.
Yeah. Indeed.
I think it was basically, there were certain things. I remember chlorofluorocarbons that were in CFCs, that were in body sprays and things like that. It was said that they were causing the breakdown of certain things within our atmosphere, which was reducing the amount of ozone, the protective ozone layer. Ozone is its own thing. I think it's three oxygen particles or something like
great
that.
Bad.
Ozone is a gas. So ozone's a gas as well, I think, a mixture, and it is O3, right? So that was being degraded by the things we were using. I think there were steps put in place to stop the emission of certain gases that was causing the degradation of that ozone layer, which I think you're right, there is more ozone in the atmosphere now, causing more, giving us more protection from the rays and things like that were coming through, UV and other radiation. But there are other, I think that was typically that was the first element of real mainstream climate kind of stuff.
Awareness.
Everyone was like, there's a hole in the ozone layer. What's an ozone layer? And then people started thinking.
I remember that in secondary school, talking about that hole in the ozone layer and how it's a huge problem. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we should get him on as a guest in a future episode. Yeah,
go through loads
we
of science things. We should
actually fact check.
Yeah.
Ask some really core questions about the core of the planet and its core issues. Mm. Damn, man. Just came up with that on the spot. This is why you listen to this podcast,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Smart. Hey, if you want to continue to listen to this podcast, you're going to, because you're going to get them weekly now. And thanks to our wonderful Patreons, they're allowing us to do it every week, which is fantastic. And also, we're going to try and interact with them a bit more with a poll. So there'll be a new poll for next week about which hypothetical questions you'd like to see. We'll pick one. I'll pick the best voted one. And also, if you are musical, you can send a fingle into hatchahat-films.com. Mm-hmm. We'd really appreciate that. If you want your fingle featured at the start and the end, like Tim Wilson, that's awesome. And if you want the ad-free version, again, that's a Patreon thing. It will be uploaded there. But other than that, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Any final words from either of you?
No. I'm happy with the words I've said today.
Let's think of something nice to say. So if this person is listening to this at this moment and they want something nice.
Cake.
You're alive. You're breathing. Isn't that surprising?
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Wow.
That's like more thoughtful.
For now.
Words in the future, I hope.
You know what would be a quick one, actually?
Yeah.
Would you rather be a 4-footer or a 12-footer in that society?
Gosh, it really depends on the resource, like the state of resources. And again, we could go really deep into it. 12-footer, I want to be really tall.
He wants to be tall.
I want to look over.
I'd but have to agree with Ross. I mean, living the life of a tall guy has kind of sucked on all forms of public transport. And, you know, there is a lot of downsides to it. Like, beds never fit me. I'm always a little bit too heavy for mattresses. All those things suck. But 12 footer, mate, why not? Giant.
You're big.
So I just, you know, I just want to be tall. It's nice being tall in other ways. I'd rather be tall than not. But yeah, no, 12 footer. How about you, Trot?
I'd probably be an insufferable little 4-foot. Scientist that has an unreasonable hatred for 12-footers.
Yeah,
you're like trying to like break. You're trying to make them all infertile.
Yeah. You keep stilts in his cupboard.
Yeah, the genophage.
Oh, cool. Man.
Yes, I've calculated this is beneficial to the 4-footers to eradicate 12-foot population.
Shots out here developing bioweapons.
He's shrinking the babies.
I'm just happy I can see all the birds in the trees. All right, lads, what's going on up here? Oh, who's that down there? You're
that one's
down
infertile.
There.
I tested on that one frequently.
He's chopped my bollocks off. I couldn't even tell.
He doesn't know. He's unaware. I don't think he has emotions. Anyway, we'll leave it there. And please tune in next Friday for our continued Hat Chat podcast. And we'll leave you with Tim Wilson's phenomenal fingle. Goodbye, everybody.
Ta-ra.
Have a fucking great day. Ta-ra.